Let's pray. Father, it is just a huge joy to celebrate. So much of the world cannot see it. Unless they are born again, they cannot see the kingdom of God. But for us, the celebration of the resurrection, the celebration of life, the celebration of knowing you, the celebration of hope, which is anchored in the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, we celebrate and we rejoice greatly. And so, Lord, we pray for the anointing of your Spirit today as we open your word. Without that, it's just the talk. But for you, Lord God, we pray, because your Spirit, you know each one of us. You know our mundane deeds, what we do. You know our needs, you know our batterings, you know what we need. And you, Lord God, make that connection between who we are and the Word of the living God, which is alive. And so I pray for that connection, I pray for that anointing, for each one here, Lord God, that we hear you, not me, but you. And that is your promise, that you come. That is the work of the Holy Spirit of God, the living God. And we thank you and celebrate that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I always just have this trouble. Maybe I'm just using the wrong finger or something. Might have to get you to do it, Rob, or something. Or have we got a battery? Yes, we have got batteries. All right, okay. I'll try again. Ah! I did it. We're celebrating life and we've got life. Easter Sunday is about the resurrection. It is about conquering the power and the fear of death. It is about salvation. It completely changes and corrects our perspective on death. The world is so bound up in sin and darkness that it cannot see God, and it refuses to look for him. You know, the Western world has a perspective on time, so that we think and teach that the day begins in the morning and ends at night. This is a sad reflection of our perspective on life. So that we start young, supple and full of energy, and fade as we get old. This is the power of sin and death. Romans chapter 5, through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. God's perspective is the opposite. Right at the beginning of creation, the new day began at evening. Genesis 1. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Our day begins in darkness, but morning comes when the sun rises with brilliant light. Psalm 30. For his anger is but for a moment, his favour is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Now our daily walk with God begins with weakness, but grows deeper and deeper in strength. We face despair only to experience his grace in understanding and hope. 1 Peter. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen and settle you. Wow. After you have suffered. See, suffering is very much the part of our growth. I've quoted before Percy Sereby, who no one's heard of, but you vaguely remember Herb Elliott. He was the coach of Herb Elliott. Some of you remember Herb Elliott. To train without pain is to train without gain, was quoted to me as a young boy at school. Yep, you have to hurt to grow. After you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. We fall and are drowning in guilt, only to be forgiven and declared holy and blameless. Colossians, and you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. Isn't that incredible? That we were enemies, yet reconciled, so that we're presented blameless, 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 and above reproach. The resurrection corrects our plans for the day. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. We are warned, exposing the works of darkness can bring retaliation, even by churchgoers. So watch it. But there you are told, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. People, you have to expose them. That is your calling. You expose the fruits of darkness. As believers celebrate Easter, we are enlivened by the huge victory. Jesus conquered death. The one seemingly unbeatable foe was vanquished. And it was even infinitely bigger than that. Jesus died without sin. Satan tried pain, shame, scorn, agony, humiliation, abuse, and everything he could think of, so that Jesus would just sin once. Just once. Just the tiniest of sins would have lost the battle. The most excusable response, a curse, a swear word, a hateful remark, was all that Satan needed to disqualify salvation. He just needed a sinful Son of God. Just one little thing that all of us would have excused. Jesus died without sin, and we are rescued from hell. Seeing then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We live out this victory as we do battle with the enemy daily. In our life, we regularly engage in battle with fear, with uncertainty, with depression, with temptations in the flesh, and with things going wrong. But the victory at Easter reminds us that we must walk with Jesus. He says, "I am not alone." He bears this out in his own life. Because the Father is with me. He sets the example that we follow. We too can say, "I am not alone, for God is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Are you going to escape the trials and tribulations? No. No. There it is. In me you will have it. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. After you've suffered a little while, he says, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. But even knowing and anticipating his death and the resurrection, Jesus points his followers to the end of the age. In Matthew 24 and 25, just before he's betrayed, Jesus teaches us about the great tribulation and his return. The resurrection of Jesus points us to a glorious future, even after huge trials, persecution, martyrdom. Now, while I'm mentioning that, Barnabas Fund and some other literature is on the desk. Please take it home and read it. Okay, it's no good sitting on the desk. Take one home. Okay, you can put it back next week, but take it home. Let's read it. There are so many Christians who are being persecuted. 1 out of 7 Christians are being persecuted hugely in the world. Matthew 24 outlines the events of the 6 seals in Revelation 6. Now this is just before the crucifixion and the suffering of Jesus, and he's determined to teach his followers. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed, no one deceives you. Seal 1, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. Seal 2, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Seals 3 and 4, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Seal 6, and there will be famines, pestilences and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Seal 5, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my sake. And then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another." I showed you the other week, I said to you, what is the colour of the empire that went out and brought the gospel to the lands that now has fallen away? White. The British Empire. What is the colour? When you think of Russia and China declaring war, red. What is the colour? When you think of poverty in on a globe, Africa, black. What is the colour of a pandemic? Pale. And the four horses there, the four horses are white, red, black, pale. There you have it. And we are warned. And Jesus makes the point just before he goes out to be crucified, be betrayed. He brings those 6 seals to us. When Jesus comes to give life, he prepares us for the things to come. Parents do that for their children. Teachers do that. They prepare us for things to come. And we prepare our children for what is to come. And Jesus prepares us. Now, unusually, let's jump to Daniel. At the last chapter of Daniel, and that time Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of the people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even to that time. When we read the history of the Jews, it's remarkable. They've survived as a nation, but our God defines life. They were slaves in Egypt for 400 years. Jerusalem was destroyed in 586 BC, rebuilt, destroyed again in AD 70. The people were scattered for 1800 years with huge persecution and hatred, which continues even to today. But this time of trouble is even worse than all of that. As never was since there was a nation, even to that time. Matthew 24, for then there will be a great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. See, Michael is one of the high-ranking archangels who opposes Satan, and whose special task is to protect Israel. We too have angels assigned for our protection, but the final authority for our destiny lies with us. We choose whether to obey God or Satan. And we are given that choice that we will spend eternity with the Lord that we choose, Lord Jesus or Lord Satan. The resurrection is a picture of utter catastrophe turning into glory. The time of trouble is the great tribulation, which is described in Revelation. The 7 seals, 7 trumpets, 7 bowls of wrath. The irrational hatred of the Jews is proof of all of that. And at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. God promises his people in Jeremiah 30. You shall be my people and I will be your God. The covenant between God and his friend Abraham, is described as a friend in Chronicles, stands. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant. Our God is a God who can do things forever. To be God to you and your descendants after you. And also I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the lands of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Wow. God, and we see that. We said in the last 50 years we saw Israel returning to the land. Incredible, unbelievable. After 1800 years of being scattered, any other nation would have just disintegrated and intermingled, and they came back. God has created people with the authority to choose their own destiny. Every person has the right to choose who they will serve, whether it's God or Satan. So not all people will be saved, only those whose names are written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, the resurrection, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Why are we given gum nuts and caterpillars? So that we understand there is a different dimension to life. Imagine explaining to a Martian, see this little gum nut, it actually turns into one of those huge things. I mean, that's ridiculous. It doesn't even look like it. Yes, no, it does. This little gum nut turns into that thing, we call it a gum tree. Yeah, gosh. See, there's a different dimension. You saw in the homework, those of you who did your homework, 1 Corinthians 15, there are celestial bodies. We need to memorize this verse and pray desperately for the unsaved. Our prodigals and unsaved friends are given to us so that we speak out the gospel. People, the anguish of hell is forever. Our time on earth is limited. We catch a glimpse of forever with some of the batterings of life, but it's only a glimpse. Australia celebrated the passing of sportsmen, heroes, many with zero understanding that we shall all pass, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. The word many in verse 2 there refers to the fact that billions will be woken from their sleep. And Jesus teaches two outcomes after death. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. The resurrection demands we take eternity seriously. There are two outcomes, and Jesus is teaching. Everlasting contempt refers to hell. The world refuses to consider hell. Not only that, but they are offended by the truth that hell is real for unbelievers. They think the unsaved will enjoy pleasure forever, playing golf somewhere, whatever. Some even think that a God of love would not punish forever. They refuse to acknowledge that God is a God of judgment. The punishment is eternal. The God we worship delights in judgment. For I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness on the earth, and in these things I delight. Delights in it. It's not for us to change the character of God. That is impertinence. That's arrogance. That's pride. God tells us about his character. I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness. That's the character of God. In these things I delight. People, if you're in love with God, you delight in the same things. You delight in the things that God delights in. You say, yep, if I don't, I'm wrong. We are so blessed to be taught about this judgment in the last book of the Bible. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophets are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before our God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in it, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. The reward comes to the wise and those who turn people to righteousness. Wisdom is evidenced by the fear of God. If a person walks with God and listens to the Holy Spirit and reads the Bible, wisdom will grow. As wisdom grows, so does the determination to turn people to Jesus. What comes out of the mouth is proof of what is in the heart. Salvation is proved by our heart erupting words of confession. Paul says in Romans, the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, so you have to speak it out. If you confess with your mouth, you have to speak it out. I know what it's like, because there is this barrier that you have to overcome to say the God word. Like, God bless you, I will pray for you, can I pray for you, whatever. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, the resurrection, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. People, we have to be prayerful. We have to be prayerful 24 hours a day. We have to be prayerful wherever you go. I bungled the other day. There was this young mum who was struggling with a trolley outside Aldi. And I saw she was troubled, and I came out after getting my shopping. I said, are you okay? And she said, no, I can't get the trolley with the baby seat on. And so I moved things and I got it out for her, and she was really grateful. But I should have said, may the living God bless you. I should have come out with a God word to connect her somehow or another. And after I'd walked away, I thought, ah, blew it again. See, we need to be in prayer every step of our life, because we need an alertness to come out with those God words. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro and knowledge shall increase. We live in an age when travel and internet would have been unimaginable in the day of Daniel. Now, the fastest direct flight from Australia to England is 18 hours and 31 minutes, a distance of 15,209 kilometres. We all know the phrase, Google it. The availability of knowledge for anything was unimaginable even 30 years ago, even 1992. We couldn't imagine it. Talking about the day of the Lord, Zechariah describes warfare that would be unbelievable to his readers. Their flesh shall dissolve while they stand on their feet, their eyes shall dissolve in their sockets, and their tongue shall dissolve in their mouth. He's talking about the end times. I mean, he's talking 2,600 years ago to people. How would they even imagine? David, just think, that's ridiculous. That's stupid. How can that happen? Their flesh shall dissolve while they stand on their feet, but we know. We know that we live in the age when this is possible. now live in the age that Daniel is referring to. But this is the Easter message, and many of those asleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Easter declares to us that bodily death is not final. The body does die, but the spirit lives on. We are given a very finite time on earth to find God. Here's the closing thought. It'll only last a couple of hours. But you are a chosen generation. Wow. Did you realise that? You're not random. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvellous light. What are you going to do? You're going to proclaim it. It's got to come out of your mouth. Who were once not a people, but are now a people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. This is the message of the gospel proclaimed in the resurrection of the Son of God. Our focus is no longer on death, but now on life with God. Our aim is not to spend eternity in a place called heaven, but to spend eternity in the presence of our God and Saviour. Get the difference? One is a tick off the list. The other is relationship. I've said over and over that Psalm 23, yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil. Why? Because you're with me. And it is the company that we have that matters. It is walking with God which matters, people. You don't pray just once in your quiet time in the morning. You pray over and over and over again, because we need to be alert to speak it out. If we think that heaven is some place where we play golf or relax on the beach, we've missed it. At last, we're in the presence of God forever, and that is infinite delight. This life on earth is filled with much pain, sorrow, trials, but when we go to glory, it'll be so infinitely wonderful that all our batterings will be forgotten. It's like grief, but it's the opposite of grief. When you lose someone really close to you, all your good and your bad deeds and all the troubles of life don't matter at all. When we get to heaven, all of that won't matter. We will be in the presence of the living God. In the resurrection, Jesus anchors our faith in victory. Jesus' last act to prove that he was human was to have a sip of sour wine. It was a slap in the face for Satan, who might later try to proclaim that Jesus was not a man. After this, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, he said, "I thirst." Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up the spirit. 100% human, but sinless. The life of Jesus anchors our conviction that our days are not disposed to random luck, but rather to a godly purpose. We must pray, "Thy kingdom come, not mine. Thy will be done, not mine." The life and the death of the Son of God establishes the truth that we have been put on earth for a purpose. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. People, you are uniquely sculptured. You are uniquely designed. You are uniquely positioned. Family, place, situation, suburb, friends, occupation, whatever. You are unique. And as I've said before, this brick is special because only this brick holds up that brick and that brick. There. You're like that. We are bricks on the wall. And you have been positioned by God. You are his workmanship. We do not surrender to wishful thinking about the flesh. But our hope is now rock solid. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. The resurrection of Jesus tells us that through the body, that though the body will die, the spirit lives on. And when Jesus cried out with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Having said this, he breathes his last. The body dies, the spirit lives. You know, I gave you homework, and you should look at it if you didn't look at it. Leviticus 23 and 1 Corinthians 15. Leviticus 23 talks about first fruits. So after the Passover, the day after, that's the Sunday, that's today, after Easter, was the celebration of first fruits when they waved the sheaf. And the Hebrew word there is reshith. The winter had gone, and new life had begun with the resurrection. And you were celebrating it. And then in Romans 8, it talks about the Holy Spirit as the first fruits. Our words and our thoughts and our actions proclaim the life of God and the anointing of the Holy Spirit in all we do from now on. I want to ask you, in closing, I want to ask you, what are the first fruits in your life that begin today? Not tomorrow, today. See, people, in the scriptures, the roads there are described in terms of the destination, the road to Emmaus, the road to Damascus. Not with some other word, not like Hay Street or whatever. And in our life, it's the destination you focus on. The road might be rocky, it might be muddy, it might be a traffic jam, might be all types of things, but it's the road, the destination that you're going to. And today you celebrate in the scriptures the first fruits. Christ, the first fruits. What is the fruit that you want starting now? Now. As I pray, I'm going to ask God to reveal that to you, to show you what is the fruit you want to start now for God. We celebrate Easter, but it's not just a celebration, not just a service. Life is life. Life is life. It comes to life, the first fruit. It's like the budding of your capsicum or whatever you have in your veggie garden. When you look at it, you think, yeah, whoa, I've got a little capsie coming. The first fruits are like that. You've got something. We prayed for the prodigals. We want life, people. Don't we want life? We want life. Let's pray. I'll just pause in this prayer for God to speak to you. Lord, that's what I ask. I ask you, your Holy Spirit, the first fruit of your Holy Spirit, to speak to each person here and to tell them, what is the fruit, what is the destination that you want for them starting now? So, Lord, we thank you for the resurrection. We thank you for proving to us you are life. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shone in the darkness, and the darkness could not comprehend it, couldn't understand it. You are life. And so much of what Satan puts in front of our eyes in terms of the flesh is death. It's rubbish. But in you is life, and after this time on earth, there is an eternity. There is an eternity which goes on, and we want to spend the eternity not in a place, but in your presence. In the presence of a God who loves us and gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yep. We want to thank you for Easter. Thank you for this time when we can be brought back again to our knees and to remember. Remember you, the God of huge love. But more than remember, Father God, today we want to start first fruits. Today, Today we want to start living for you. After the night comes the morning. It is the evening and the morning of the first day. After the evening comes the morning, comes the day and the brightness of your glory. Father, I pray for each one here. I pray that by your Holy Spirit you will show them the things that you want to accomplish through them. I pray for them to have the courage, for all of us to have the courage to stand firm, to expose the deeds of darkness and to stand firm for you. I pray for it to come out of our mouth, to complete strangers, to friends, to families, to prodigal, to whoever. We want to confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus. And Lord, we can't do that unless we walk with you, not once or twice in a day, but over and over and over and over. And we want an alertness, Lord God. So we speak out the words of God to a dead and very deceived community. We want to speak it out. Lord, these are your servants before you. I pray for the huge anointing of your Spirit on them. I pray for the huge anointing. I pray that they will have an appetite for your word, which is voracious, that they will eat your word over and over again, Lord God. And I pray for a walk with you, which doesn't end. A walk with you which is in delight. A walk with you that remembers so much of your goodness to us. Where we can confess our sins and know the redemption of your blood. The forgiveness that we once again boldly come into your presence as your servants. I pray for that for each one here. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Saviour's love? There's that fantastic last verse in there. No condemnation now I dread. Jesus and all in him is mine. Alive in him, my living head, and clothed in righteousness divine. Bold I approach the eternal throne, and claim the crown through Christ my own. Let's stand and sing.
For me.
my own. Amen. Father God, let us boldly approach your throne and claim that crown. This week, we want courage to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Have a good week, people.